welcome to All Steelers Talk, your home for everything Pittsburgh Steelers, presented by AllSteelers.com.
Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of All Steelers Talk. We're your host, Nosejack Bond and Donnie Drund. It's kind of a sad day for Steelers Nation, I would say. I wouldn't say it's the end of an era, but it's the beginning of the end of an era. Ben Roethlisberger opened up his press conference today and said that he's not going to talk indefinites. He's not going to talk in guarantees, but this does feel like his last game at Heinz Field Monday night against the Cleveland Browns. I don't think there's a better way to go out at Heinz Field if they could pull off a victory. Donnie, first off, what are your thoughts here on Ben's words?
I feel like we saw it coming, right? Like,
yeah.
Taking a little bit of the emotion out of it, this isn't a surprise. It's almost as if we, like, not expected it, but almost, like, needed it to happen. Because the worst thing you want to do is watch him go out and, you know, potentially have a very, like, terrible season in 2022. And then just have a lot of that recency bias creep in and kind of have people only remember that side of Big Ben as opposed to the side that everybody else remembers. You know, the two-time Super Bowl champion, you know, the guy who can never be sacked, the guy who always made something out of nothing. So I think it helps provide people with a little bit of closure as well, you know, knowing that, you know, if you were on the fence of whether or not to go to this game, you should probably go to this game. You know, probably, ticket prices might jump a little bit after that, but hey, you know, to be there in that kind of environment, especially on a night where they're probably going to honor the late John Madden as well, it's probably going to be a very emotional night for a lot of people there.
Yeah, it's definitely. I think the ticket prices right now are like $103 averaged or something. That's going to be $400 by Monday night. Easy. Like you said, it's hard to look at this as one because there's a couple of ways to view this. And before we dive too deep into it, we should hear Ben's words himself. It was a good press conference. It was one that really just said, like, hey, man, I'm ready to address this and I'm ready to talk about it. And I feel like, you know, those are best said or heard through the voices of Ben himself.
Ben, are you looking at this or embracing this as maybe your last game
counts? Right out the gate. You know what? I don't ever speak in definites or guarantees. That's just not what I've ever done or who I am. But, you know, looking at the bigger picture, I would say that all signs are pointing to this could be it. Regular season, that is. I know we still have a chance to potentially get a playoff game there if things fall our way and we take care of business and things have to happen. But in the grand scheme of things, in terms of regular seasons, signs are pointing that way. This could be it.
I would say for a lot of us, you know, me, you, most people our age, you know, I look back at this and today I actually texted my family group chat. Yeah, I come from a family with a family group chat. That's just who we are. Okay. I texted them when I left it and I was like, kind of a crazy day for me. A lot of emotions, you know, and I get that my job is to remove emotions from this, but sometimes you got to look at it. When I was 7, 8 years old, the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl. Two months earlier, I got my first ever NFL jersey. It was a Ben Roethlisberger jersey. Got it for Christmas. It was the most excited present I got that year. And a month later, he's winning the Super Bowl. 18 years later, or 17 years later at that point, we're here watching Ben Roethlisberger say, my time at Heinz Field is likely coming to an end. I just think that for everybody who has grown up with Ben Roethlisberger, for everybody who at this point just knows life with Big Ben, this is a moment that is super emotional. It's super meaningful because you could look back at all the success or you could look now at some of the failures and you just look at Ben Roethlisberger and you say, this guy has been the heart and soul of this team and this city for as long as I can remember. And no matter how it goes out or how you remember Big Ben, he carries a special part to every person of Steelers Nation, always will. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's probably the second or first most important player in franchise history. I mean, we all wish that we could have sent him out a different way. We all wish that the Pittsburgh Steelers could have carried Ben off on their shoulders with the Lombardi. And I'm not saying that that's not a possibility still, but to know that it's coming to an end, definitely emotional, a little sad. At the same time, appreciative that for the last 18 years, Big Ben has brought a lot of craziness, a lot of joy, a lot of tears, you know, but a lot of moments that made you smile and jump up and, you know, hug the person next to you and get real riled up for no reason. And, you know, I think we should all take a moment to recognize that one.
Absolutely. And I remember texting with you after that playoff game last year, you know, whenever you lost to the Browns. And I clear as day remember you had sent me that picture of Ben and Marquise Pouncey on the bench. And you're like, this might be it. You know, this literally might be the last time we see him walk off the field in a Steelers uniform. And like that sadness, that uncertainty of all of that happening really kind of like started to sink in, right? Because like you didn't know. You really didn't know. So I feel like at least with this situation, although, you know, Ben did say he wouldn't speak in absolutes, he wouldn't speak in definites, really does feel like it's going to be his last, you know, game upcoming at Heinz Field. And at least now here in 2021, he'll have the opportunity to kind of end his career on a good note. Because had he retired last year after that loss to the Browns, Browns fans wouldn't have shut up about it. The rest of the league would not have shut up about it. And I feel like for at least a decent amount of time, pretty much any time you brought up his name, that's what people would kind of point to first. So that I view this as maybe like a really good opportunity for, you know, even if you go 1-1 in these last two games, if you can steal a win from either the Browns or the Ravens in week 18, I mean, it's got to be a win somehow, right? Especially if you're eliminated from playoff contention.
Yeah, if you're Ben Roethlisberger and you could finish off your Heinz Field career by putting a dagger in the Cleveland Browns season, that's all you could ask for. You know, you went out. It's not top of the food chain, but guess what? Most people don't go out winning a Super Bowl. And if we're being honest, Ben Roethlisberger has done this for his teammates. He did it for Jerome Bettis. And I wish, and everybody else wishes, that his teammates could do it for him this time around. But it's okay to be where he is way better than where he should be. And I think we all acknowledge that. The Steelers should be an absolute disaster right now. And they're pretty bad, but they're not an absolute disaster. And to go out, like you said, like I said, with a dagger in the Browns, or, you know, a dagger in the Browns and the Baltimore Ravens, that's pretty much all you could ask for. As a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, as a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and as Ben Roethlisberger, in the comments we got some other takes on this one. Let's start off with a little Nick Brown here, or Nick Warren, excuse me. I believe Ben and Rooney talk, and Rooney gets him to come back with a better O-line.
See, that was what was supposed to happen last year. After that loss to the Browns, that was supposed to happen, and it didn't. And I'm just not sure. We've talked about it on the show a couple of times. Rebuilding this team, rebuilding this offense is not going to be a one off-season project. It's going to take a year or two for it to really get going and, you know, see the construction start to pay dividends.
Yeah, there's no way that Art Rooney could go in there and be like, look, we're going to go trade for the best offensive line in football. And if you're Ben Roethlisberger, you're going, nah, I think I'm okay. I think I'm good. This, you know, chances are it's not getting that much better than it was this season. I think I'm just going to walk away and everything's going to be fine. I think Ben's days are done. And I looked at it like this a little bit. Ben deserved his Kobe moment. You know, and we talked about this in the last episode. Ben has deserved his, this is my time to shine. This is my final year. Give me a little bit of praise. He's, like I said, the second most important player in franchise history. At some point, he needed to say, yo, look it, wish me farewell, because you're not going to have me next year. This was his moment to do that. He knew that this was his moment to do that. I was a little surprised at the press conference, actually, because beforehand I was talking and I was like, I doubt that he says anything. I bet this is a very boring press conference. Came in and stunned me a little bit. He deserves that. He knows that he deserves that. He's not going to do that and then come back like Brett Favre and do it again, because you don't get that moment a second time. You get it one time. This is it. He's going to do it right. And this is, look at, we keep saying the best way to go out is winning a Super Bowl. Well, Ben Roethlisberger can't do that, just like a lot of other players can't do that. So the best way to do it, the second best way to do it, is to go beat the Cleveland Browns on Monday night at home after you've said, hey, this is probably my last game, and then walk away and let everybody adore you for the rest of the time and say, man, Ben walked away as he should. He pushed it right to the last year, and then he walked away from the game. That's the best way you can do it here. And then some people are actually excited for the new era of football, which is a good way to transition here into what comes next. because what does come next for the Pittsburgh Steelers? You've been a strong advocate that Mason Rudolph is that guy. Are you still dead set that he's the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers next season? And what comes after him?
I want to make it very clear that I am not an advocate for Mason himself starting.
Okay, you're like, a believer that Mason is the next guy.
I also want to make that very clear. I'm a believer that the Steelers will choose to make him the next guy.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm not saying that you're over here throwing a party, being all excited that Mason Rudolph is the next starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm just saying that you feel as if next season Mason Rudolph will be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, you know, just because I think they're projected to have somewhere around $44 million in cap space next year. Minka is going to get a very nice payday. Deontay Johnson should also see a very nice payday. And, you know, with that thinking, if you're looking to bring in a veteran quarterback, exactly who are you going to bring in? I mean, we've talked about this before, how, you know, the likelihood of a Russell Wilson or an Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson, or, you know, whoever it might be, coming to Pittsburgh is probably really unlikely at this point. It just doesn't align with the team. It doesn't really align with the moves they made in the past. So I really think, and like the Steelers being the Steelers too, they much prefer an in-house guy as opposed to bringing somebody else new in, you know, from the coaching staff to the roster. That's kind of how it is. Mason, he's been around the team. He knows the system better than, you know, any other bridge quarterback that you could bring in. You know, the countless names we've named across the NFL before. I feel like at least Mason Rudolph knows his surroundings and, you know, at least has a feel with his teammate and has some sort of development and chemistry whereas, you know, a very middle of the pack average quarterback, a veteran guy who would come in here probably wouldn't have that much better of a chance.
So, twist of fate, jump back in here. Kenny Pickett, perfect transition. I think a lot of true Pittsburgh fans are really excited to keep a Pittsburgh guy. This is a Dan Marino 2.0. That's what everybody's looking at this as. I'm just getting – the closer we get, I think the more unrealistic it becomes that the Pittsburgh Steelers land Kenny Pickett. For right now, it is something exciting to talk about. So, I'm going to run through some names here, okay, that are possibilities for the Pittsburgh Steelers to be their next – starting quarterback. I just want your opinions, your quick thoughts on the possibilities of these. So we'll start Aaron Rodgers, easily the biggest name out there to be the starting quarterback for the Steelers.
They're going to be asking a lot for him. And like, I get it, understandably so, but I just don't feel like this team is ready to win a Super Bowl immediately next year. That being said, I feel like Denver might have a little bit more of an opportunity to grab him, you know, given their draft stock, the cap space, pretty much anything you want. You look at that roster and you really feel like as if the Broncos are a really solid quarterback play away from at least contending for an AFC championship. I would love to see Rodgers in Pittsburgh. Don't get me wrong, but I just don't see the Steelers being that narrow-minded. Because if what we saw this year was a last-ditch attempt at throwing everything at the kitchen sink in order to, you know, possibly get Ben a last ring, not a chance I can pull that off.
Cam Newton. Cam Newton's been – that's what I'm saying. Cam Newton's been linked to the Steelers for the last 2-3 years.
Yeah, but like every quarterback has, you know.
Yeah, but Cam's not going to be – like Cam's going to be on the open market next season.
It's a possibility. I wouldn't like to see it, though. I would really prefer they go like a younger option, even if it's grabbing somebody on like day two or day three of the draft. Like we already know what Cam Newton is. Cam Newton is already past the MVP Cam Newton that we saw a few years ago. I'm not keen on that.
Derek Carr.
That's a name I've thrown out before. And the more I think about it, the more I think he ends up staying in Las Vegas. I don't think that the Raiders are going to want to let him go. Because like it's similar to kind of the Broncos. If they get a few more pieces, like they might be pushing a playoff status, you know. And I don't think Carr's a bad quarterback by any stretch of the imagination. I feel like some of the things that the Raiders have done have, like, what's the right word for it? Like, hindered him. But I feel like if you're going to go grab a veteran quarterback, out of, like, all of the names you've given me so far and out of all the names you could probably list, you know, following him, he's, like, 1A or 1B for me in terms of options if you have to go that route.
Two more here. Teddy Bridgewater.
No. Not after the injury, just had.
Like, you think Teddy's gone. Teddy's done.
Teddy should absolutely be removed after should be removed from Pittsburgh quarterback conversations after that injury. He was already off the board for me. I don't think he's a good quarterback. I think Mason Rudolph is a better quarterback, if we're being honest.
Okay.
That's not saying a whole lot.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I wasn't expecting that one. All right, I actually have two more because this one just popped in my head. Jameis Winston. I feel like an underrated guy.
He's been connected to the Steelers for a few years now, too. Just not keen on a guy who turns the ball over a lot. I mean, that was Sam Darnold's problem coming out of college. You know, he turned the ball over way too much coming out of USC, and everybody just looked at the bright side. Oh, you know, he can throw 300 yards a game, but it's like, okay, well, if you're throwing three interceptions, that doesn't matter. No, it's a no for me, dog. I get it, but like not in the offense the Steelers currently employ.
All right, and final one here, Kenny Pickett.
I was asked by a friend of the podcast, actually, Richie Bradshaw, who will be joining us in Mobile, if I would be excited if the Steelers went up and got Kenny Pickett. And I couldn't say no. I really couldn't. He's a really exciting guy. I feel like you could still grab Kenny Pickett and still play Mason for a year, just, you know, to make sure you don't let Pickett be thrown to the wolves or bake into the fire a little bit too early. I would like that, and I'm sure a lot of people in Pittsburgh would like it too, but there's still a lot of conversations and a lot of a lot of stuff draft prep wise, you know, whether it be the Senior Bowl, the NFL Combine, his pro day, you know, whatever else, and you know, is entailed into the draft process. What you said though, what was interesting but accurate at the same time, I feel like the closer we get to the NFL draft, the less likely it's going to become, because I really feel like Pickett is going to kind of like settle himself as the top quarterback in the class, and that's top 10 territory, you know, like yeah. Teams are not going to let Pickett slide out of that range. Somebody's going to go up and, you know, get him.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're going to end up with a team in the top 5 to 10 picks. They're just like, okay, I can't pass. We need a quarterback. Kenny Pickett is at bare minimum a proven winner. He does what he needs to do to win. I like your thought that if Kenny Pickett did end up in Pittsburgh, you could still have that bridge year with Mason Rudolph, because the Steelers need, if you put Kenny Pickett on the field with the offensive line that the Pittsburgh Steelers have, and you have to imagine next season, that's a new right guard, probably a new right tackle as well, probably a new center. That's a lot of new pieces. You need a year to just say, okay, that's yeah. Like you need a year where it's just like, okay, Kenny Pickett is going to just get annihilated back there. Let's not ruin his career well before it gets started. At the same time, there is zero chance that Steelers fans do not boo Mason Rudolph off the field every single week until Kenny Pickett. It's a classic Kyle Orton, Tim Tebow situation. Classic. There is no way that Steelers fans will not just destroy Mason Rudolph and everything possible until he's gone, no matter who the backup is. It could be Dwayne Haskins. It could be Teddy Bridgewater. You could bring in Drew Locke. You could sign a practice squad. It could be Ian Book, who just got absolutely destroyed on Monday night to the Dolphins. Put him in there. The Steelers fans are going to be like, yep, nope, we'd rather him. Josh Dobbs. Yeah,
that's another interesting conversation too, because what happens to Dwayne Haskins, after the offseason?
I don't know. I don't think anybody really wants to go out and sign Dwayne Haskins to a long-term deal. I think the Steelers could sign him to another reserves contract and just say, you know, come here. You have a shot. Compete. Prove yourself. Yeah, I think he's going to at least have an opportunity to compete. I think that he's got more upside than Mason Rudolph by far, but there are a lot of issues. Yeah, like anybody who is looking at Dwayne Haskins and thinking this guy is going to win a Super Bowl, you haven't watched Dwayne Haskins. You've just accepted that Mason Rudolph is very bad at football. Dwayne Haskins is not that great.
I think Haskins does offer more than Rudolph. Yeah. But I also think his floor is very low as a passer, which is not something you want, especially out of a younger guy. Let's say you run into a game where, you know, the defense isn't exactly doing what it's supposed to do and you need to put up points. Dwayne Haskins is not the guy to march a team down the field, my man. No. That being said, I do think Mason's the guy, but I also would absolutely believe that they would bring Haskins back to at least push him and at least have an open competition. It's like, okay, you know what? We knew Ben was going to be here. really didn't have any, you know, reservations about whether or not it's going to be Rudolph or Haskins. But now that our money's actually on the table and all the chips are pushed in the middle of it, let's actually see what we can get out of either one of those guys.
Yeah. It will be what it was this season. Competing for a backup quarterback job was nothing serious. What it will be next season, competing for a starting quarterback job, that's when we'll really get to see who these guys are. But people have to remember that Dwayne Haskins did not have a phenomenal start when he started that Pro Bowl game. He did not have a good career in Washington. He didn't play a lot of years at Ohio State. He wasn't a four-year starter at Ohio State, but he played two seasons, and then he decided to leave. He's a guy that is inexperienced and has not shown that he could win. He's shown that he has all the physical attributes to win in the NFL, to be a good quarterback. Donnie's got, for those who haven't figured this one out yet, Donnie's in Vegas for the whatever bowl Arizona State's in. That's why the flamingos are on the wall here. And apparently security just came to kick him out. Did you just get kicked out of your hotel room?
They tried to. They were like, check out. And I'm like, first of all, it's not even 11. Second of all, we got a late checkout at 12. So.
It's not even 11. It's 9:36 there.
I'm saying.
That's those. They got to get the new people in there, man. You're not spending enough money. You won too much money, and then you exactly. went and ate some tacos.
They watched us win money at the casino last night. They were like, get him out.
That's how it is. But I do have to say, the flamingos on the wall are a nice touch. I'm a big flamingos on the wall.
Hey, shout out to the flamingo, man, because it's New Year's Eve around here, and everything is super expensive.
What do you mean around here? Do you think that it's New Year's? Yeah. It's also New Year's Eve everywhere else, too. Oh, right, but today.
It's Las Vegas, bro. dude, everything is like skyrocketed. But we were able to grab this room for $49 after tax. So you know what?
You're in Vegas for $49 a night? Dude, are there hookers in that hotel?
No.
Are you sure? Are you sure? Because that does not seem like a kid-friendly business trip type hotel. You're paying $49. The flamingos on the wall just got a little bit more raunchy, if we're being honest. Like, it's a little more concerning. Are you okay? Is this a safe place to be? Cool. All right, yeah, Vegas is dangerous, man. I'm just making sure.
But we're on the good side, fortunately.
They put the flamingo on the good side? That's good enough. All right, back to Ben Roethlisberger.
They have live flamingos outside of the hotel, actually.
That's actually sick. You're telling me you're paying $49 a night and they can afford to have flamingos everywhere? You're lying to somebody here. I don't believe the $49 a month. All right, Ben Roethlisberger, what are you saying?
Not a month, a night. And it's only one night, too. Dude, like, rates skyrocketed after the 29th, because like the 30th and the 31st obviously are going to be very popular nights for people to book. So, like, for example, like $49 for the room, right? I try to get an extended checkout, and they're like, okay, you can check it out at 3 o'clock instead of 11 o'clock for $86 more. And I'm like, you're out of your mind.
That's two more nights. You could just book two more nights there.
But no, because the rates went up for the day before New Year's Eve and the New Year's Eve.
I'm a little nervous about it for you, but that's okay. That's okay.
I'm chilling.
Anyways, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, Dwayne Haskins, all great, phenomenal options. We fully understand that next year is going to be a little bit of a struggle, a little bit of a hiccup for the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is a good thing. You need to have a hiccup to have success. We've said this time and time again. It's chess. It's not checkers. That's what we're playing here. And Bill Belichick is a prime example of how that works. Mike Tomlin was once a prime example of how that works. Bill Cowher did this, if nobody remembers. Tommy Maddox probably played with top five worst team in Pittsburgh Steelers history. I felt terrible watching Steelers games every Sunday before Ben Roethlisberger showed up. And then, boom, Big Ben shows up, and they got a team. Why? Because they built a team, added a quarterback. Seems to be how things work there. So the Steelers, they need a hiccup. They need to rebuild. It comes with a lot more. Ben's last years, though, they were struggling. Before we head out, I do want to touch on his legacy a little bit. This year was a little rough. Last year, the end of it was a little rough. In the grand scheme of things, none of this matters, right? When you think about Ben Roethlisberger, it's Super Bowls, Big Ben, can't be tackled, winner, Steel City, none of the bad things. Nobody cares about him.
Absolutely, and they shouldn't either. And that was a topic that you and I kind of touched on before we jumped on, is if he goes 1-1 or if he goes 0-2, you know, would would people kind of harp on that? Would it be like, oh, you know, Ben didn't make the playoffs in his last year. He lost his last two games was at home to the Browns on Monday Night Football and to the Ravens on the road in week 18. And I just feel like in the grand scheme of things, it really shouldn't matter. And I know recency bias is going to creep in. And I know a lot of trolls, you know, from the rest of AFC North are going to creep in and give their two cents on it. But at the end of the day, dude's a legend, first ballot Hall of Famer. You literally can't erase anything that he's done. I mean, the three Super Bowl appearances that he's had, the multiple franchise records that he has, the multiple NFL records that he's had. You know, there's going to be a lot of respect for him whenever he finally does put that gold jacket on. But until then, just it's all going to be talk. But that's kind of where we're at in this day and age.
Yeah. Somebody used Eli Manning as an example. And I was like, okay, off, do not use Eli Manning in the same category as Ben Roethlisberger. Nowhere near each other. Nowhere near. Ben Roethlisberger is the best quarterback in his draft class. He's should be the first quarterback in the Hall of Fame whenever he goes. Don't. When it comes to his legacy, you're right. You're not going to remember this year. You're not going to remember the struggles. You're not going to remember any of the negative, actually. When you talk about Ben Roethlisberger in 2-3 years from now, it's going to be, oh, this dude won 2 Super Bowls, went to a third. Most people don't do that. Every single year, it felt like the Pittsburgh Steelers were in the playoffs. There was never a season when it was like, oh, this guy isn't it. And honestly, if Tom Brady and Bill Belichick weren't around, Ben Roethlisberger might be the greatest quarterback of his time. He could probably be in that argument. Now, obviously, he's not because Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, totally different. You know, that's a whole level above everybody ever. That's what it was. That's where he was. He was in a situation and constantly put his team in a situation where, yeah, Ben Roethlisberger probably could have won every game if you put it on his shoulders and asked him to win a game. Plus, on top of that, for every mistake or bad game that he had, you could find a good game that he had. I mean, people seem to forget that once he threw for 5 touchdowns and 500 yards against the Indianapolis Colts. And like, it was nothing. Like, it was just like, yeah, be what it be. Put up 42 points. Week after
too, so.
Yeah, they did a week after. Lost a playoff game, putting up 42 points. He didn't even have a defense. The defense didn't even get off the bus. And he put up 42 points to try to win a game at 36, 37 years old, when at that time people were looking at him saying, dude, you've been around for a long time. You've been taking a lot of hits. Let's relax a little bit. Dude has been – I mean, and then you could put him in combinations of quarterback, wide receiver, him and Antonio Brown, whether their relationship ended on a good note or not, has to be top 10 in quarterback, wide receiver duos ever. Oh, yeah. Easy. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure when you break it down, it's higher than 10. There's nothing to look at and say, yeah, all right, Ben, you know, Ben went out with a little negativity. Let's talk about some bad things. Like, no. Ben Roethlisberger has done way more than any quarterback, or I wouldn't say any quarterback, but when a quarterback comes into the NFL, what are your expectations for him? Go win us a Super Bowl. Well, he did that twice. Keep us relevant for as long as you're here. 18 years, some of the worst teams the Steelers have ever had the last 2 years, kept them relevant. He's done everything and anything that the Steelers could ask for. I don't think that's a mistake there.
I think some of the negative, too, just comes with the gunslinger type of quarterback that he was, because there were a lot of plays I remember where he would try to fit a ball into a window that did not belong there. And sometimes it worked out, sometimes it didn't. And that's kind of just the dice roll that you take with a guy like that. I think some people are starting to see that a little bit with Patrick Mahomes as well, with some of his decision making. But at the end of the day, you know, Patty Mahomes has a phenomenal arm. His athleticism is real, and, you know, he can make throws other people can't. That's what Big Ben was whenever he first came into the league, whenever he took over for the Steelers in 2004. And obviously moving forward, I really want people to, regardless of the score, just enjoy the final two games. Yeah. Like, really enjoy it, because we've heard it from a bunch of people that watched the 70s Steelers teams, right? That, you know, after Bradshaw and everybody else left, it was dark. It was not a good time to wave a terrible towel. So be prepared, is all I'm saying. Enjoy it, soak it in, because once it's gone, you're not going to get it back.
No, anybody who thinks that this is not going to be a little bit of a drop-off for the next couple of years, you're way too optimistic as a person. Way too optimistic as a person.
I admire that.
Yeah. No doubt. But like you said, enjoy it. These are two games that you will never get back. These are two games that our life will never – After these two games, we will never watch Ben Roethlisberger play a football game again. We'll never know what that's like. For me and you, that's all we've ever known. For a lot of other people, that's all we've ever known. So enjoy these last two. Soak it in. Remember it. Who cares what the score is? Who cares? I mean, let's hope the Steelers somehow push this out and find themselves in the postseason. That would be great. But just to know that you're watching Ben Roethlisberger's final steps on Heinz Field in one of the greatest venues in sports history, enjoy it, embrace it, you know, live it up, and maybe hug somebody that you didn't hug, because, you know, this is a moment to remember good things are out there and we need to take them for granted. Thank you, everybody, for jumping on to another episode of All Steelers Talk. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/AllSteelersTalk and find your favorite podcast host on Twitter at Noah Strack, at Donnie Droon, and we'll see you next time.